Mr. Jay Harris. Thank you for your time today. How you been, sir?
I have been fantastic. How about you?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you. Today is September the 2nd, the second day of Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, which is a huge month for, you know, for me and for you. And we're going to, you know, get into talking about prostate cancer today, a topic that's not very often spoken about, especially, you know, out in the open. So I definitely appreciate your time today, sir.
For sure. And, you know, I'm glad we're doing this during Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. It is a huge month, but it's like every other month is just as huge. You know, this
Correct.
Is just the month that we set aside for it. But yeah, this is a topic of conversation that needs to be explored more than it is.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to get into that, you know, a little bit, you know, today. So for the listeners who may not know, you were recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I think that was in the beginning of June, and you had a surgery around the middle of June.
I had surgery June 10th.
June 10th. Okay. So why did you, why let's back up. How's your health today? How are you doing?
Well, the doctor says he got it all. So he says I'm cancer free. And I believe what he says because he's been smarter than me through this whole process.
That's good. That's good. Congratulations on that. You know, that's great news. So you're diagnosed, I believe, on June the 5th of this year. How old
were you? No, it was earlier than that.
Oh, well, when were you diagnosed?
Well, that's a great question. My MRI was Sunday, March 30th, which showed when we got the results that there was something there that was probably cancer. And then we had the biopsy, I believe, 2.5 weeks after that, which confirmed it. And then the PET scan, which showed that it had not spread, thankfully. And then the surgery on the 10th of June.
Okay. So I want to back up a little bit into that. So you had your MRI, you had your biopsy. And I get this question, you know, a little bit. So for your path of treatment, were you relying on a urologist, oncologist, or both?
I guess all.
Right, right.
I think I've been touched by everyone that has a, you know, expertise in this field.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people, you know, which is okay, you know, they choose one or another path, right? So it's urology because it's dealing with, you know, the prostate. But also you're dealing with cancer, so you have you know, the other side, you know, over there as well. And I did the same. I was diagnosed, as I said, in 2020. And so I use both, you know, together. Yes, we're talking about, you know, the prostate with my urologist, but also we're talking about cancer, which may or may not be an expertise of my urologist, which is why, you know, I had oncology. I was, I'm lucky I'm in North Carolina and we have some great facilities here with University of North Carolina and Duke. Mm-hmm. So I chose to use them, you know, locally. Okay, so you got your biopsy. You received those results. What's the very first thing that went to your mind when it confirmed?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was the very first thing. Once when the MRI showed that there was something, I figured that the MRI wasn't lying to me. Especially my dad had prostate cancer, and he chose the radiation seeds, and he got through it. Okay. But, you know, since it runs, it likely runs in the family that way. Mm-hmm. I kind of figured once the MRI showed whatever that the biopsy was going to come back positive, and it did. So it didn't throw me. The only thing that really bothered me was the prospects of the PET scan, because, you know, once you get the diagnosis, okay, you've got cancer. Then every little thing you feel in your body, you think it has spread to your entire body and you're scared to death. And I was. And I'm sure my family was too, because when we got the results of the PET scan that showed it had not spread, you could feel, you could hear the sigh of relief and you could feel it in the whole house. So, yeah, I said, okay, that's next steps. That's what I said.
Great. So because your dad went through it and had, you know, success, you know, with the seeds, did that make that diagnosis a little bit easier for you?
No, it did not.
Right?
I'm like, well, just because he had it, that don't mean I want it. No,
right. Yeah, but you're familiar with it, you know, a little bit. But no, I mean, it is not easy, right? So, you know, ironically, you mentioned your dad. I'm going through it with my dad right now, I think, and he is just hard-headed. But, you know, he's going through, you know, some things, you know.
I know he ain't here, but you said he's hard-headed. I think we've all been guilty of that. How has he been hard-headed? If you can discuss those things.
Absolutely. This is open forum. Absolutely. So, you know, so we go to a restaurant and, you know, we're in the bathroom and I can hear, you know, his stream, his urine stream, mm-hmm. right? It's not, you know, continuous flow. It's kind of stop and go. And gotcha. He's there a while, you know, so, you know, we're out with my mom and my sister. So, you know, one-on-one time, I'm like, hey, Dad, have you, you know, gone to see, you know, urologist, you know, whatever. And yeah. Then, you know, I circle back with mom, you know, and he hasn't, you know. So, you know, I've been on him, you know, to get that. And then, you know, she's pointing out some, you know, things around the house. So I'm just now, actually the 12th of this month, he's going to get a biopsy, you know, because I've just been on him, and especially, you know, my journey. And then I'm hitting with facts. You know, you get it early, you know, like you and I did, 99.7% chance of success and survival mm-hmm. within the first 5 years. If you catch it late, like any cancer, it's deadly. It's, yeah. you know, it drops to, you know, 36%. And people who look like me, it affects twice as often. It's twice as deadly. So I'm yeah. like, Dad, you need to, this is no joke, you know? And I know some men out there don't want to go because they're scared of the truth, but they have to go.
I want to get more deep into your dad's business. What what type of biopsy is he getting?
He's going to get, I call it the more traditional, you know, biopsy. They're going to put him to sleep and they're going to get 12 samples, you know, through
transrectal.
Yeah, transrectal, correct. Yeah.
Okay. I did the transperineal because I thought it was cleaner and safer.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor, and I've talked to some other people about this that have maybe challenged this, but I believe what my doctor said. Mm-hmm. For men of African descent, the transperineal is a better biopsy because it gives you more access to areas where cancer likes to hide in us that the transrectal doesn't always get. So I'm an advocate for the transperineal biopsy whenever I talk to people.
Yeah. Well, good, you know, and that's why they're there, right? So you can't have this kind of, you know, getting into the weeds a little bit because every treatment and every cure and every process doesn't affect everybody the same.
Indeed.
You know, we're all different. So, you know, that's great information to, you know, to share with, you know, with everybody. So that's great stuff. Okay, so your PET scan comes back. It has not spread.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about deciding your treatment path?
Well, my team, as I'll call it, said mm-hmm. basically my outcomes would probably be the same through radiation and hormone treatment or doing the surgery. The thing about the radiation is once you do the radiation, then surgery is not an option, I was told.
Correct.
And I knew there were complications with both. I mean, things you have to deal with both, not necessarily complications, just, you know, part of life after.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the option just in case those pesky little cells decided to come back that we could still do targeted radiation on them. And I mm-hmm. wanted two bites at the apple as opposed to just one. So I chose the surgery.
Yeah, that's ironic. That's the path that I chose for the very same reason. I wanted to see shots on goal, you know, with that. Mm-hmm. But I had a hernia years ago, and they put that mesh all the way across, you know, the front, so they could not, you know, access, you know, my prostate. So I ended up having, you know, to get, you know, radiation treatment, 28 rounds of it. And off on the weekends, 5 times a week, and off on the weekends. Doing good now, but I did want, you know, that same you know, process, you know, that you took, which was prostatectomy. Okay, good. So you mentioned your MRI.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a regular checkup, or you went thinking that you had a concern?
No, it was a specific MRI after. Okay, I'll back up. we did the, you know, my regular physical, you get the blood test, check your PSA.
Yep.
And my PSA was 6.3. And okay. my primary care physician said, I'm sending you to a urologist. And I didn't even make it to a urologist. I got to the APRN, who gave me the old fashioned prostate check, you know, bend mm-hmm. over, finger up the mm-hmm. butt, all that stuff. And she said, I don't like how this feels. I want you to do an MRI. And that's mm-hmm. where we got the MRI specifically based on what she did not like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there are, you know, different ways. So you mentioned, you know, the PSA test, which is something that, that we use a lot, you know, here at Zero Prostate Cancer, because we have partners with mobile units. So we can go out and take the, you know, the exam, you know, to those who may not have access to, you know, a doctor, and that's part of, again, it's a simple blood test. I mean, that's how, you know, it found mine. And, my diagnosis was in 2020, and I tell people jokingly that, you know, if you remember, that was during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I said, my wife just wanted to get me out of the house. She was on me. She was like, look, go get a physical. Go get a physical. I mean, like literally every week, she was like, go get a physical. Go do something. And then one day she just made total sense. She was like, one is free because, you know, we have, you know, insurance through our work. Mm-hmm. And the doctor is across the street. Why won't you go? Wow. So I'm like, yeah, right. So I'm like, she got me. All right, I'm going. You know, so I'll go over there. And you know, my PSA was 4.8 when they checked it. And they wanted to wait 6 months, you know, to go back, kind of wait and see. So we did that, and it had gone up again. Yeah, and then, you know, so we're looking at the doubling rate, and my doctor was like, you need to call your urologist. And Jay, I'm going to tell you exactly what I told my doctor when he said that. He said, you need to go call your urologist. I don't even have a urologist, like, for real. I was like,
yeah,
I did not have a urologist.
I mean, honestly, who does that?
Right.
You don't have any issues. Why would you?
Right. So then I'm on Google and everything. I mean, depending on how you use it, good and bad. And I'm saying, look, I'm getting my will together. I'm getting, like, you know, everything. I'm panicking, right? I'm just
I can dig it. That's real.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, you know, prostate, me, you know, didn't smoke, didn't drink, drug, none of that. Like me, you know, hell, I'm like, me, age. Yes, I was having a moment. But you know, once, you know, talk to the doctor, talk to your team, as you said, you know, to kind of, you know, calm me down. Hey, this is, you know, pretty common. Mm-hmm. And this isn't, you know, the 1950s. This is, you know, 2020s. There's a lot of ways, you know, to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So it's good. So your family, mm-hmm. your immediate family, mm-hmm. you have wife and kids. Mm-hmm. How do they respond?
They kind of dove in with me with 2 feet. They didn't necessarily have to be on me about my regular physical or going to do what the doctor told me to do. But they were just, you know, very supportive and have been throughout the whole process.
Did you let them?
Oh, God, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I wasn't that guy. And no shade to those guys, because there are many of those guys. But I didn't want to be that guy, because, I mean, I love my dad, but I don't ever remember us sitting down and having a real prostate cancer conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out through a cousin of mine that there were several uncles and folks on my dad's side of the family who died from colorectal disease, prostate cancer, because they didn't go to the doctor. They didn't do the things that they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I determined not to be that guy. And in the process, my son's 26. I have probably overshared with him. You know, your granddad had it, your dad's got it. So you need to, he's like, I know, Dad, I know. But I have to do that, you know, because I want him to be okay. And which is probably why sometimes I probably overshare with friends, because I want them to be okay. And if I was put on this earth to have this even for a time, I'm supposed to tell my story. I'm supposed to do whatever I can and use my voice to help folks. So yeah, that's why we're talking today. And yeah, they've been through it. They're still there with me.
Yeah. Great. You mentioned your friends. When you reveal your diagnosis, how were your friends, your coworkers, your colleagues, how did they respond to you?
Man, you know what? All of them were truly a blessing. My main co-anchor, Hannah Storm at ESPN, went through a bout with breast cancer. She caught it very early. So she was like my number one. Okay, you got to do this. You have to do this and you have to do that. And I want you to tell me every time you do something along the way, because I'll tell you what happened. We have to do now. I'm like, okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say. So I kind of like didn't have a choice. Even if I wanted to slack off, she wasn't going to let me. My family wasn't going to let me. And then I use this. I tell this story a lot. I went on a golf trip with the fellas. And I knew what I had. They didn't know yet. And one night at dinner, I decided to tell them. And it was one of the best conversations that we get. You know, we went from talking about nonsense stuff that guys talk about on golf trips to everybody disclosing or talk about appointments they have and things in their family and what they have to do. And we made a pact to go get checked and blah, blah, blah. And it was fantastic.
Great. So
that's how my friends and coworkers responded. Kind of the way that I'd hoped they would, you know?
Yeah. And that's great, right? When you have, you know, friends like that, because I have a saying, if you need something and your friends aren't there for you when you need it, what do you need them for? Mm-hmm. Right. And so I try to live that way when, you know, friends or whoever, you know, call out to me. So it's great that they responded that way.
And I also had one more, Brian Custer, one of my other co-anchors, who went through the process over a decade ago. And he told me everything. Like, he didn't sugarcoat a drop of it. And I appreciated that, because if you can't tell me the real, don't gloss over it. Yes. Did that hurt? Yes, it did hurt. Okay. Should I do this? No, don't do that. Do this. Okay. Thank you. I have some good folks around me.
Yep. That's awesome. So you mentioned, you know, sugarcoating and the real. So one of the things that I deal with is the sexual health side of it.
Yes.
Right? It's a side effect of, you know, prostate cancer. How are you dealing with that?
When you say sexual health, let's break it down. You mean like erectile dysfunction?
Erectile dysfunction, yes, sir, and the urge and everything else. Yes, yeah. Sir. Let's get real about it.
Well, right now I'm still dealing with that. Be totally, totally honest. Mm-hmm. And I hope it comes back. I had some, my doctor said, and I don't know all the anatomy of the prostate, but on one side he had to get close to some nerves. So those need to heal. So mm-hmm. I think, what is it, anywhere from 6 to 18 months, possibly. Is that what the literature says? I don't remember.
It is. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, I'm in that time period now, and I'm taking my Viagra and Cialis to keep the blood flow going. They're like, yeah, make sure your blood flow's good.
Sure.
And we'll see. That's part of it.
Right. Yeah. So I'm 5 years in, and I still, you know, take mine, you know, as well. Say, you know, for the blood flow, but, you know, there's also things that, you know, I noticed, because, you know, obviously we know our body parts, it's, you know, it's firmness, you know, at times it's frequency, you know, of wanting to be, you know, intimate, I didn't have the surgery, but some of the side effects I heard of, you know, about the surgery is girth as well. Right. You know, so it's everything, you know, and then of course it's normal functionality, it's urination. It's sometimes you know, passing blood still, you know, it's all of that because of the, you know, the part of the body, you know, that you're dealing with. And, you know, obviously that's a sensitive part, but, you know, we encourage people to, you know, men obviously to pay attention to that, you know, after the surgery, and don't hold that in, you know, talk to, you know, everyone that needs to know, you know, about that, and make sure that, that you can heal, you know, quickly and properly.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've already used the term, but this is no time to be hard-headed with this stuff.
Right.
No time to be quiet. There's no time to sit over there. Because, and one thing I've learned through this, you are not alone. I mean, oh my goodness. When I went on Good Morning America and made this public, I got so many messages from people who were like, I had this then, you'll be fine, make sure you do this, and my surgery's coming up. next month and I'll keep you posted, or I'm going to the radiation rally, I'll keep you posted. And I went, my dad did this and my uncle, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my Lord, I had no clue. Like, you know, you're not the only person on earth. You know, there are other people that have things that you have, but you just don't really know until people just tell you. And that was really comforting in a way. I was not alone. I wasn't going through this by myself. I had some people to talk to.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we're here today, and right? And we mentioned, you know, the Awareness Month is to let men know that they're not alone. And in the families, right? You may have, you know, a male in their family that don't want to go out, but, you know, we encourage, you know, I have a saying there after my wife, you know, really pushed me, wives save lives. So if you look at, you know, women in breast cancer, for example, I don't have to force my wife to go get a mammogram or any of that. She's going just religiously. Yeah. You know, she looks, she's going. Men, you know, what I've learned, and again, you know, I'm a guy, right, is that I have a doctor, but some don't, right? They don't have a medical home. And if you need to go get medical assistance, they might not even go to the hospital. They may go to an urgent care just to take care of that one little thing.
Honestly, why do we need a doctor? We're strong. We're men, you know, we can handle anything. We don't need a doctor. What's a doctor going to tell me?
Man, that pride will get you in trouble on one of them. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, you go around and you can't do normal things like, so remember, you know, it's going back to, you know, when I tried to have the surgery, I went in and, you know, obviously, you know, they put you out for the surgery and I come back out and I look at the clock because I'm in the room and I was only back there for like 17 minutes. Ooh. But then in my mind, I'm strong enough to know, well, I'm just groggy and I'm saying it wrong. So they could not, you know, take out my prostate. So, but I felt it because they went in and tried this. Oh, you got a mesh. We can't do anything. And you know, this slowed me back up. Mm-hmm. But I also had, you know, the catheter, right?
Oh. So,
right. So I'm laying there and the nurse, like, you know, we couldn't do anything. And I'm laying there, I'm like, it felt like you did something, right? You know, so I'm still groggy trying to get out of that. So yeah, I went through everything, just didn't have my prostate removed.
Dude, I'd be like, well, if y'all couldn't do anything, why do I have a catheter?
right. Help me understand this. Yeah, he's like, hey, we couldn't take it, but hey, the great news is that you would never have a hernia because that mesh is all over there. I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, a little silver lining there. but yeah, so you know, we talk about, you know, man, so one of the things that we talk about, it's the stigma, you know, behind, you know, this disease. It's those barriers, you know, right? And we try to, you know, eliminate, you know, some of those barriers. So in your family, do you think there are still barriers, even with your diagnosis and you doing what you do for society?
You know, in my immediate family, no. I'm having right now, my brother is, you know, going through testing to make sure that he, you know, doesn't have cancer. His PSA is up a little bit. But even with him, he has not, we have deep conversations, good conversations, real conversations, because he, through our dad going through it and through him watching me, he gets it. I think he got it before, but you know, when folks close to you have it and you can like, call them up and talk about it, it really hits home. So I think at least close family wise, it's been really good. It's been really, really good.
Good. So you went through your treatment. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Okay. So you get diagnosed, you go through your treatment. Was there anything like, so now we're at today, looking back, was there anything that you wish you would have known from the beginning of your diagnosis?
Anything
such as maybe side effects or anything. So like for me, so one of the things I would like to have known, so we talked about, you know, Viagra and things like I would like to have known how it affects my heart. Cause we talked about blood flow, right? So obviously that comes from the heart, but there were times, so, you know, you mentioned it earlier and I was laughing when you mentioned it because it was true. Once you get diagnosed with cancer, like you pay attention to everything. So yes. I noticed when I would walk and do things that my heart rate was a little different than what I had been accustomed to, what I was used to. So I knew that. So wasn't freaking out. I just knew it was a change in my heart. So I bring it up at one of my appointments, and they're like, oh yeah, by taking this, your heart rate's going to do this. It's going to elevate. You may get, you know, a murmur, whatever, but it's fine. Right. Again, it just, I would want to know that up front, you know, how, you know, the side effects, right? Well, hey, gotcha. You take this, how is this? There are certain pills that you can't take together. You know, all of that. So that's why I was saying, is there something that you would have, like to have known up front that you didn't?
You know, maybe those things that you just mentioned, but I haven't gone through them or those experiences specifically. So I can't say. Probably the only thing that I wish I had known or done differently was go in sooner. Because like you, there was a period where, you know, my PSA was a little elevated, but I'm older. I'm 60 when I was 59. But we decided we're just gonna watch it. And there are days where I wish we hadn't, you know, I wish we'd have just gone on and done something then. Other than that, no. And I have a couple of friends now who are in the, we're watching it kind of stage. And I don't like the watching it. Watching it scares me, you know? Because even you said you watched it and a couple months later, yours was up. And you, how'd that affect you?
So it went up. It went up from 4. Actually, I told you right. It went up from 4.6 to 4.8 in 6 months.
Okay.
You know, so I'm at my primary doctor. You know, because you know he's like, well, you're a big guy. You know, because I'm 6'5". You know, 260. So hey, you're a big guy. Maybe you know that's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back and it had gone up, says, hey, you know, you need to go see a urologist. So I go see a urologist and. And, you know, to your point, you know, he says the same thing. Well, we can either do, you know, seeds, we can do a surgery, or we can just watch it and wait. I'm like, wait for what? And he said, wait for it to kill. I'm like, absolutely not. No, we're dealing with this either right now, you know. So, but ironically, you know, Jay, they did, you know, my team at first, they didn't give me, like, they didn't say, you need to do this. They gave me the options and sat back.
Right.
They're like, hey, you kind of pick whichever way. And I'm looking for guidance. Like, I never fought prostate cancer. I'm like, look, help me. And they're like, look, they helped eventually because when I asked them, you know, I literally asked myself, I don't know what to do. There's so many great options out there, right? And everything kind of seems to work and maybe not, you know. So when he chose my path, I asked him, I said, why did you choose that path? He said, because that's the path I chose for my dad.
Mm.
Like, you know, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I chose my path. No, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes. That's great. Yeah. I think I may have gotten more guidance, more, this is what I think we should do.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you think kind of thing?
Right. Right.
Like you, I don't know, bro. I have no clue.
right.
No, I don't know.
It's like, isn't this your job?
Exactly. If I were you, I'd do the surgery because you're strong enough, and I think you'd be fine.
Right.
And then we talked about, you know, the radiation and not being able to do surgery after the radiation. And I even went to see a radiation oncologist just to get both sides, and he was like, "Yeah, I think you should do the surgery too." Because it gives you the option, and honestly, you probably won't even have to ever see me again. And I was like, I appreciate that,
right?
So, because I didn't know, I don't know.
Yeah. So, how has your outlook shifted since your diagnosis and your surgery, professionally, mentally, and physically?
Professionally, it's made me appreciate my folks at work a lot more because they have been just fantastic through this whole thing. It's one of those things where, you know, you take time off and if you need some more time, let me know. You can have some more time. mm-hmm. or don't even show your face until you're back better. We don't want to see you. Like, yeah. really? That hurts my yeah. feelings.
yeah.
They were great. I think, you know, it makes you appreciative of life, I believe, a little bit more. And for me, it has made me want to do things like this to, again, use my voice to try and help other folks if I can. Mm-hmm. And just to wake up with a purpose every day, more so. Mm-hmm. Really listen to my body for things. Be more present in the house with the fam. Not that I wasn't before, just, you know, trying to, you know, be better at that. It kind of heightens everything when you go through something that is potentially life-threatening, didn't get to that point, but you never know. Mm-hmm. And then there's the part, and I'll be totally honest with you, the part where some days you wake up really thankful that you're still here, but then you wonder why. Because so many folks go through this cancer thing and they're not here anymore. So like, what's my responsibility in that? Mm-hmm. Where do I fit in that? And that can get kind of heavy sometimes.
Yeah. But it's great stuff. You know, I had a moment when I was going through my radiation, and I mean, I tell you, I woke up in a bad mood because I had to go back through radiation. Right. You know, mm-hmm. and it was 5 days, a week. And I was off on the weekends, and basically, you know, you just feel crappy, right? You know, you're sick, you're moody, and I had the hormone treatment before and then ADT. So I'm just dealing with, you know, a lot. And the radiation, I was fortunate enough to be able to get in my car. Again, this is during COVID, so it was social distancing stuff. So drive to, you know, to the facility, get my radiation treatment, you know, get dressed again, get in my car, and drive home. That was my routine. So I'm going, and I'm just like, why me? I wasn't getting it, right? I know it's mm-hmm. like what you just spoke. I wasn't getting it. Why me? As I said, didn't drink, didn't do anything. So what's the purpose, right? I'm not eating crazy food. So now, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to eat everything, you know? So I'm just in a bad, bad mood. So I go in, I'm laying on the table. The machine's there is, you know, doing the radiation, and I'm laying still, and I'm still in a bad mood. I get dressed, and I'm walking out. And Jay, I look to my left. There is a lady sitting on a bench next to a window. She's sitting there. She's got the IV in her arm. She's got the bag carrier. She's got her hands on it. She's got her head leaning against that. And she's got, you know, the towel on her head. And she has no hair. Mm-hmm. She's got a hospital gown. And she's just there going through it. And here I am just getting my treatment dressed. I'm about to drive home. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I was like, I would never complain again. So I had to figure it out. What is mm-hmm. my purpose, right? Because when I saw her, like, yeah, it just really changed my whole perspective. That one moment, you know, changed that, you know. And again, that's why I do, you know, what I do today. I would talk to anybody about prostate cancer and what I went through, because it just changed me that way.
That's cool. That's all right.
Yeah. So I will tell you. So you mentioned earlier about people, your coworkers, and you reminded me. So remember, I said I was in NASCAR. So I was working with Richard Petty at the time.
Okay.
So when I diagnosed, I told the team, hey, I got to take some time off, you know, whatever. And we was at a fundraiser at Rich's house, and he pulls me in. He says, hey, you know, let's talk. And, you know, he tells me he had prostate cancer, whatever. Don't panic, do whatever. And, you know, to you, just what you said. So I put in two weeks. I had 2 weeks vacation. I said, I'm going to take my vacation just to deal with this because I didn't know what I was dealing with. So I go and do that, and they never took any of my vacation days, none of them. And they gave me as much time as I wanted. They did. They was like, look, you deal with this, you know, we got you. So, you know, but it's great, right? Knowing that, you know, people have your back in these situations, because you could feel like you're on an island.
Indeed.
It's good. Well, Jay, was there anything else that you'd like to bring up before we go? Again, thank you for your time. Any kind of, you know, messaging that you want men to understand and to know, you know, directly from you.
Just go get checked. You are not alone. My DMs are open. Holler at your boy if you need to. And we got you.
Mr. Jay Harris, sir, I thank you for your time. Thank you for your messaging. Love what you're doing and stay healthy, sir.
Thank you, brother. You too.
Take care.